And we're back with the Kamikaze Debates here on AboveTopSecret.com. I want to extend a personal thank you to Chisler and Semper Fortis for affording me the opportunity to resolve the technical difficulties I was having. It just goes to show you that your laptop and freezer, while it may seem like a good idea at the time, just do not mix. I would also like to say, Semper, you have made this a very difficult debate for me so far. Your opening statement and your first rebuttal are very well thought out, and this will make my job that much harder. I would also like to reiterate that without our officers out there keeping the peace, this world would be an unbelievable nightmare. So thanks to you and your brethren, Semper, for the job you do every day. Personal responsibility also comes with accountability. We have choices in this life, and when we make those choices, consequences are the result. Personal responsibility is something in life that each of us needs to recognize and be accountable for. An example is, I put a laptop in a freezer for 6 hours. When I tried to turn on a frozen computer, it trashed the hard drive. This was a choice I made, and the consequences were that I had to buy a new hard drive and had a mess of a time with other system problems, and about 12 hours of meticulous resoldering. It was not the computer manufacturer's fault for not putting a label that said, "Don't put me in the freezer." It wasn't the refrigerator manufacturer's fault for not putting a warning label on the freezer that said, "Don't put electronics in here." It was my fault, plain and simple. That's personal responsibility and the consequences that come from actions. If we were to take away a person's right to be an idiot, take away a person's right to make those dumb choices in life, life would not only be oppressive, but dull and boring. Life is full of chances. That's the beauty of life. To start down the path to giving up personal liberties is a slippery slope indeed. And with more and more of our personal choices taken away from us, it will not make this world safer. It will unfortunately drive those on the edge to take matters into their own hands with unfortunate consequences. Sometimes devastating consequences. With the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, we have seen within our own lifetime the creation of an agency with a broad and sweeping powers, with little oversight. This department controls many aspects of life within the United States, one of which that surprised me was federal grants. In order to receive a federal grant, one must apply to the Department of Homeland Security. Now, you mentioned Pearl Harbor in comparison to 9/11, and while I agree that 9/11 was a much more devastating attack, there are some key differences that must be observed. The Japanese military attacked Pearl Harbor. They were not a terrorist organization. They, albeit horrifically, did honorably attack a military installation. A surprise, yes, but it was a military target. We're not officially at war with Japan, however, we were more than likely to be brought into World War II anyway. This attack just prompted us into the war sooner than we would have liked. While in contrast, those that attacked the World Trade Center buildings did so in a cowardly and horrendous fashion. Not only did they attack a civilian target, but those that perpetrated the attack were non-military of a foreign government. The result of this act was regrettably the same. We are now at war on two fronts, both in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and we are preparing to go to war with Iran. Also, detainees from the war in Afghanistan are being held without trial in a foreign land for years, with no sign of any possible release. This war that we are in today is a war of ideals. It has no foreseeable end. Like the war on drugs, the war on terror is going to be a never-ending battle. Both sides will change tactics and strategies, and neither side will gain an advantage. And now we cannot end this war because it has come to our doorstep. This war on terror did not start with the 9/11 attacks. That's just when America realized it was part of this war.
I do remember Beretta, in fact. But when you say don't do the crime if you can't do the time, you have to remember that when the debt to society is repaid, the person is supposed to once again be allowed to live their lives, not continually punished and shackled for the remainder of it. I agree that the victim often does not have the same liberties that are afforded to the criminal that changed or ended the victim's life. in the first place. But we as a society have to realize that some, not all, but some people can be rehabilitated. I am often reminded of a social worker here in Sarasota, Florida. He once was a heroin junkie. One day, looking for cash to get his fix, he decided to rob a bank. His plan was simple: don a mask and head in and rob the place with a gun. He got to the bank and looked at his face in the pane of glass and asked himself, "What am I doing?" He then changed his life for the better and counseled drug addicts for the betterment of the community. People can change. The only way that they can change is if they have the desire to change and the opportunity to change. You tell a person he's a criminal long enough, they will believe it. I can completely understand your views on victims' rights versus criminals' rights. And I, for one, do not have the same respect for judges as I do for law enforcement officers. And I personally view lawyers with the same air of contempt I usually reserve for fecal matter. We also need judges that are willing to listen to the facts and not predetermined sentences or judgments based on the income of the individual. You also talked about an officer that pulls you over and requests to search your vehicle. Now, myself, I have not ever objected to a search of my vehicle before, but now I wonder. I have nothing to hide. I do not carry anything illegal in my vehicle. So if an officer requests to search my vehicle and I say no, what happens then? Obviously, now the officer has probable cause and can detain me while a search of my car is performed. What happens when that officer does not find anything illegal? Obviously, then that officer must not have had a valid reason to search my vehicle in the first place and just made an illegal search. Personally, I'm not going to test out this theory. That officer has a hard enough job as it is without my sorry behind making his life worse. It reminds me of the time I visited England for the first time. I was 19, long hair, tie-dye t-shirt, backpack clad. When coming home, I knew that customs was going to search my belongings. It just made sense for them to. I fit the profile of someone you should search. Heck, I would have searched me if I were them. My bag was torn apart, all my stuff was strewn across the floor, and was thoroughly searched. Of course, they found nothing, because I wasn't about to bring anything back from England that would even be considered illegal. But the point is that they had probable cause, and that probable cause led to nothing. Now, is that an illegal search of my person? In that case, no, because of the way the laws read. And the fact that after the search was concluded, they spent the time to place every single piece of my personal property back in my backpack exactly as they found it. As far as your worry of an invasion is concerned, thanks to the Second Amendment and those that are considered thugs, this is something I don't think we as a country have to worry about. In my neighborhood, it would be detrimental for an invading force to come rolling down the road. The soldiers would be mugged, and any cars that they had would be stripped of parts before they got to the next stop sign. When you take away a person's rights, all you do is create more criminals. This was shown during Prohibition. They made alcohol illegal, so people became criminals. The same would be true if you got rid of people's rights to keep and bear arms. Only the criminals would be left with guns. With the freedom of speech, you also have the personal responsibility and the accountability that you do not defame or say anything liable. You cannot, as you pointed out, yell fire in a building, unless there is a fire, or unless you're being attacked. In a woman's self-defense class, women are taught to scream fire as if they're being attacked, because this brings people out to see what's going on. If you scream help, no one's going to say anything, no one's going to come out to your aid. So you scream fire. That gets people's attention. You spoke of freedom of the press as a detriment to the safety of our brave men and women fighting for our rights overseas. In some ways, I agree with you. I do not see the need for our reporters to be embedded with our troops and have the ability to give away their positions on the 5 o'clock news. However, we as a society should know what is happening in a war that has cost over $4 billion so far. I personally have seen, looking through the sands of my lifetime, the changes that have happened to our personal liberties. I remember the time when one would not worry about locking their door. My father used to keep his keys in the ignition of his truck. The erosion of our personal liberties not only happens because of legislation, but because of sociological factors as well. I live less than 100 yards from a police station here in Florida. However, if I went less than a block away from that police station, I would be offered illegal drugs, or I may be assaulted. My choice to walk down that particular road has been taken away from me because of that danger.
The choices in life are what give us our liberties. Take away those choices, and you have taken away our liberties. This has been What You Know.